He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put. Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
How are you doing today?
Oh, not too bad.
It's a good day?
It's a good, so far so good. It's early. Yeah, I've got lots of work done, email, did a consultation already. Yeah, it's been a busy morning.
That's one of the first things that I think about, too. I wake up and do my morning thing, but I want to get on my computer and see what's going on my website and get into the internet flow.
No kidding.
Man, that thing is great.
I know. You've got lots going on that computer. I think you're having a love affair with it. Something's going on.
Yeah.
I have to go downstairs and check every now and then.
Well, I heard a TV ad talking about internet addiction. And I think that when it becomes excessive, it probably is not a good thing, but it is a great tool.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
So, what's cooking?
Well, we discussed that not a heck of a lot new was cooking unless I have company for dinner. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to review the Athlete's Cookbook. And what is interesting is I'm getting a lot of publicity in the Athlete's Cookbook now, different magazines, and getting phone calls from those who have the book regarding some of my recipes.
I actually saw it displayed in the latest issue of Oxygen Magazine.
That's right.
That was kind of cool.
And whose hot body is in it? This 46 years old I am, and the other girls are younger.
I think it was completely airbrushed. I don't think it was real.
Har. No, that was the summer, and it was hot, and I wasn't really heavy weight training, so I don't have a muscular body anyway. But it's sure nice. I was flattered.
You're looking good, dear.
Thanks.
No problems.
Yeah, right. What else are you going to say? Okay, so I'm going to talk about ghee, and it's very interesting because this woman called and said, "Why do I use so much ghee in my recipes?" And I'm thinking, well, I don't really use a lot of ghee in my recipes. I mean, if you want to put it on your vegetables, I don't put ghee on my vegetables, but you and Ruby do. I put some lemon juice, or I just have it plain. This woman made a comment with the date squares that I use a pound of ghee in my date square recipe. She goes, "That's an awful lot." And I'm thinking, if you take a look at the recipe and you actually make the recipe, I don't think that you're going to eat all those date squares in one sitting. Now, we must remember that the date square is a treat, not a staple. How often do I make date squares in our house? Once a month?
Approximately.
And when I do, what do I do with them? Everybody eats them. I may have two out of that whole package. You may have two, maybe three, but the rest I give them away or the kids eat them. So you're not eating a whole pound of butter. So this is what you need to take a look at. You're not going to sit down and eat the whole thing. I would like to see somebody sit down. They'd blow up.
Yeah. Plus, she's also thinking in terms, I would imagine, of calories. And she's not using the power of discretion here. What is the difference between butter and ghee? I think a lot of people, generally speaking, don't use ghee, have never heard of ghee. And maybe they've heard of clarified butter, which is kind of similar.
Yes.
So maybe you can tell us what ghee is.
Well, the reason that getting into ghee is dehydrated milk butter without the solids. So what we do, it's actually the purified essence of butter, and it's from India. And what they do at no refrigeration is they boil the butter, take all the milk solids out so that you can leave the butter at room temperature and it doesn't go rancid.
No oxidation, no degradation. Yeah. So a lot of the stuff that goes off in butter is removed, is clarified or purified, right?
Yes.
So I think of ghee as a very pure source of clean burning fuel in the athletic body, which is the function of our cookbook,
it's
right?
It's very, very healing. Now, you use it with discretion. Because, I mean, if you're not eating a lot of bread, you know, you can put it on toast and put it on your vegetables. And you can even fry with it if you happen to fry. Like if I make scrambled eggs, I'll put some ghee on it, but I lightly scramble the eggs.
That's because a saturated fat is more tolerant or more resistant to damage than a polyunsaturated fat.
Right, exactly. So ghee is really where it's at. So try to make some ghee if you possibly can. And I hope that's answered a question about the ghee butter situation. You got to make sure that you keep your eye on it. I have burnt my ghee when I've got talking on the phone or somebody asked me a question or I went downstairs. So after making it for a while, you really will get the hang of how to make it. You need a really thick saucepan and put it on low, maybe on a number four, mark four.
Yeah, and I usually buy the butter. It's a cultured, unsalted butter.
Which is like a sweet butter,
right?
They say, yes.
That's what you start with.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, exactly.
And then you take that down.
Yeah. I unwrap it, and then I put it into the really thick saucepan, and I let it maybe about an hour. It might take about an hour for the whole process to go.
Just let it sit there at low heat and melt.
Yes, exactly. And then it gets kind of crusty on top.
Those are the solids rising to the top. Right. And there's some gunk at the bottom, too,
isn't
there?
Yes, a little bit of gunk at the bottom.
So there's that separation. It's almost like the good and the bad being sifted out naturally.
And then what I do is I strain it from the saucepan into a Pyrex glass, and then without getting any of the foam or the...
solids, byproducts.
Without getting any of the solids. Yes, exactly. And then I strain it again into my little mason jar, and it should come out clear, liquid gold. It's absolutely beautiful. And when I make the perfect ghee, I'm so excited. I have to phone everybody and tell them because it's a beautiful sight.
Yeah. And it's great stuff. And everybody that we introduce it to says, "What's that?"
Yes.
And they taste it, and it is absolutely delicious.
It's got a nutty flavor to it. It's quite delicious, actually. I make it once a week in our family. So you're not getting a whole pound. You're probably getting 3/4 of a pound.
Right. Yeah. Right. But you end up with this, again, this very clean, wholesome, delightful tasting product that you can incorporate into not just baking, but use in your foods and in your cooking. So that's good for ghee. Okay.
Ghee, good to go. That's right.
Good to go. Let's get into our special guest review. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Terry Willard. He's got quite a sense of humor, and he really knows his mushrooms, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. He's a fun guy.
Yes. Many of my friends have tried his Wild Rose Herbal Detox and have had great results. Also, another friend of ours, she had a little bit of a cold, and she tried the Reishi Mushroom blend, and she was thrilled with the outcomes. So this stuff really does work.
Yeah, he got into mushrooms also for athletic performance as adaptogens to enhance immune function. He talked about cordyceps. He talked about reishi, mushroom extracts. You know, there's a whole variety of these mushrooms.
And what was that caterpillar thing?
That was cordyceps.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's this form of fungi, which is kind of connected to a caterpillar. They don't use caterpillars anymore, and I guess he talked about how the original stuff is like $2,000 an ounce found in a wild-crafted environment, but it's pretty much milled or harvested off of grains. But this stuff is useful in that it can protect the adrenals from exhaustion and strengthen the immune system. And a lot of athletes don't think in terms of immune function or prevention of disease. They're just focused on performance, and after years of focusing only on performance and ignoring nutrition, they have major breakdowns. And they often go from one extreme, which is being lean and really focused on training and sport, to having problems with weight and being depressed and not training at all.
So we've seen this time and time again, haven't we?
Absolutely.
We see it a lot.
Especially at the master's age level. By the time people hit their 30s and 40s,
Repair
they just wind
and
themselves right up out of control. And then they have a hard time getting back into sort of a normal active lifestyle because they come from such an extreme, but neglected nutrition.
Right, exactly. So that was wonderful with Terry. And he's got some great books out. And so thank you very much for that, Terry. Really appreciate that.
Okay, so who is our next month's special guest?
Next month's special guest is Steve Adele. Steve Adele is an avid weight trainer and a one-time national competitive bodybuilder. Steve has always had an intense interest in physique enhancement and muscular performance, so you will like that, Corey.
Yeah, he looks good.
Steven is the editor-in-chief for his Tell It Like It Is publication, Real Solutions magazine, which has quickly become the fastest growing, most talked about physique development magazine in the world. It's distributed in 12 countries.
Can That's cool.
That? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's done really well for himself.
He sure has. We met him here. He was
He was the ambassador for EAS out of Denver, and when I was working with Upper 49th and represented EAS here in Canada, he would come up and I met him at our trade shows because he was the rep that helped us and took care of aspects of distribution and marketing directly from EAS headquarters.
Mm-hmm. And also too, he co-authored a book entitled 7 Never Before Secrets Everyone Should Know About Buying Supplements. Boy, that's a mouthful. And recently distributed copies of Maximum Growth Volume 3. So He's into the body beautiful.
Yeah, he's into education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before anybody can really make any serious advances or positive changes, they have to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
First desire, then knowing what to do, and then application.
Absolutely. So we look forward to that.
Absolutely. Okay, so today, dear, what is your hot topic?
My hot topic is teen talk. And it's very interesting. We're going into a new transition with our daughter, Ruby. And it's funny because out there in SNU land, you really get to know who our family is and what we do. But you know, that's, I'm not shy about it at all. So our daughter Ruby's turned 13 and now she's in high school. And that's a big transition from elementary school to high school. Now, one of the things that I maybe have had a little difficulty with is I'm still treating her like she's in grade school. She's still my little girl.
A lot of mothers do that.
Right. Well, I know my mother did that. My mother treated me like a child even when I was married and had kids.
Yeah, some never stop doing
it. Yes. So I see that that can be a mistake for me and for many people out there. So we need to understand that they are little adults, little adolescents that need to find their way in the world and they want more freedom and more independence. It doesn't mean that we still don't keep our eye on them and they don't have boundaries, but there's a reverse psychology that goes to it, that they want to feel like it's their idea. So we had to go through our own metamorphosis ourselves, didn't we, Corey?
You more than me.
Oh, whatever. So treating teens like young adolescents rather than kids in grade school. And you know, they've got their hormones are raging. The diet may not necessarily be as good as it should be. There's peer pressure. Reasoning with them is what we need to do. And they think that we are stupid. We don't have a brain. We don't know what they're talking about. But I say to Ruby, I say, listen, I was 13 years old at one time too. And it might be a little different for boys than it is for girls.
And also per individual.
Yes.
Because whether male or female, people take on the weight of the world in different ways. They go through situations, divorces, remarriage differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the response mechanism inside, which is inherent, maybe genetic, and then you've got the effects of the environment, peer pressure and school and friends and all of that stuff too. And everybody takes it in, siphons it, filters it, processes it, yep. Spits it out in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And we as parents need to reflect on what it was like when we were a kid and how we felt about our parents. We seem to forget that because I don't want my daughter hating her life and remembering that her mother, okay, we'll say her mother, okay, we won't say because it's a mother-daughter thing, or her father too, that it was a horrible childhood. She hated her life. I don't want her to feel that way. I want her to have good, fond memories so that she can be a productive parent herself.
And you know what? It's not common to find adults who can reflect upon their birth and upbringing experience in a very positive way.
I don't know any.
Very, very seldom will you come across
anybody.
We
will say, oh yeah, I have a great relationship with my parents. And then when you start digging a little deeper,
absolutely,
you find out there's a lot of
huge dysfunction.
Hang-ups.
Resentment, yeah. Regret, hostility, yeah. Anger, yeah. Tension. Oh yeah, he was a great father. But, and all of a sudden you say, that's a lot of buts, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So no wonder you're thinking the way that you're thinking.
So the reason I knew there was something going on with Ruby, she started to withdraw. And these are things that you want to look at with your teens. Withdraw, lack of interest or response. They don't participate in family functions. They change their style and clothing. They're listening to different types of music. They idol worship the different types of posters. Sometimes they get into this goth and you can really see a change. Like the posters go from Winnie the Pooh to Slipknot. Whoever Slipknot is, but if you know what I mean, the thing, it changes and we have to realize they are growing so fast. We pretty much stay the same now as we age. I still like the same music, but the kids are growing so quickly. We have to really keep our eyes open. We can't ignore this. And I believe that the computer is a large part of their world. Say
it is today.
Yes.
We didn't have one when we were growing up.
And a lot of the information that they're receiving can be harsh and violent and maybe sometimes more than they can handle. And if you watch TV now, I mean, yes, I'm a prude, but I still you know, sex. It's everything. They're wearing practically nothing on these shows, and in the Much Music, everything. They all look the same to me. All the girls and all the guys, they've all got half naked.
Yeah, it's good, and I really like it, and I think that's they should just keep going. Push it all away, baby.
I knew. But, you know, it's changing. And the kids, like, Ruby's got everything
well,
hanging out.
Well, it's one
out.
Extreme to the other, right? Going back in time, the conservativeness, the gays in the closet, the dysfunction in the home, sex not being discussed at all. Mothers not talking to their daughters about having a period and all that stuff and sexual hang-ups, right? To the other extreme now where it's not considered sacred or it's perceived as something that you just sell.
Oh, well, it's only sex.
Right.
You know, that's a big one, too.
I think communication is the key. That's what I find. Uh-huh. Like with our children, I like to sit down, look them straight in the eyes without being critical, without ridiculing them. Just being sensible and rational and say, okay, what's on your mind? And take your time and don't try and force stuff out of them. They have to feel comfortable in telling you what they're going to tell you. And parents, they will never tell you anything if you use what they're going to say as a weapon against them. Yeah. That's why they don't talk to you.
My mother did that to me.
Right. Why do you want to talk to someone who's going to smash you in the face with their verbal retaliation?
And I wanted to share with my mom. I really, really wanted to. And then she'd hit me up with it. And it was like, why did I tell her that? But I don't want that to happen with my own daughter.
That's based on fear. And, you know, I can't get why parents can't just give their children an opportunity to express themselves without attacking them. Yep. Whether it's about drugs or sex or homework or whatever it is. As soon as the kid opens their mouth, they leap out and attack them. Mm-hmm. And that teaches the kid, I better not say how I really think or feel to my mom because she's not going to be agreeable. So I'll go tell somebody else.
Or denying their feelings. That's another one. My mom used to do that to me, which gives you lack of confidence and
insecurity.
You second judge yourself, right? Well,
right.
I would say, gee, I feel this way. No, you don't. You did that to me one time, I remember. I said, geez, I feel this way. You say, no, you don't. And I said, yes, Mom.
Well, that's because I was right. And I can read your mind.
I knew how I felt. So even if it's you don't need to feel a certain way, you don't have to tell them that they don't feel that way. They feel the way that they're feeling. Allow them their feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
And but if a person is feeling a certain way and it's a misjudgment on their part based on how you think or based on how they perceive you to be thinking. You see, this is where the communication comes in. I can't read your mind. No one can read anyone's mind.
And aren't you lucky?
And even when we use words, those words mean different things to different people.
Yes.
It's incredible. That's why we always like to have our dictionary present.
Yes, that's
Let's just make sure that we're all clear about what this word means before we use it. Or if you use it in a certain context, it doesn't relate to the context that I'm trying to get to. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting, that the human communication function.
And then you can get the kids like wanting to quit school. Like, hello, you're 13 years old and you want to quit school. All right.
I can understand that.
I know, but I did get ticked off. I got to admit, I didn't get ticked off.
It's like a bloody prison.
With her, I didn't get ticked off. I vented with you, but then I thought, okay, now how am I going to reason with this kid? Because I remember I hated school too.
You know, biography on TV, time well spent. Well, hello. I think a lot of the time spent in school is wasted.
Yes.
There's a parent after parent after parent keeps telling us, why don't they teach kids about mortgage and financing and relationships and nutrition and fitness? And there's so much that's important in real life that's essential that they're not being taught.
Right. Now, let's sit down and let's think about this logically. You're 13 and you can't get a job because you're underage. Go ahead, quit. But what are you going to do all day? The little mind's going on. So she realizes that it wasn't a good idea. But we didn't yell and scream at her and tell her she was stupid because I could get your butt to school. We just allowed her to speak out. And it's hard to squeeze words out of those kids. Still waters run deep. There's lots going on in their head, but they don't know how to vent it out. And then there's that dark cloud, like when girls get their periods and they're just new at this, when they're just starting out, they don't realize how their hormones are rampaging and how maybe a PMS can affect them. Because sometimes, guys, you won't understand this, but it's good that you do learn about this if we're your own daughters.
Well, this is where nutrition
comes in. Or for your wives.
Because if these kids are eating crap, living on junk food, salt, sugar, fats, it's only going to make their situation more complex and out of control.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So I think nutrition is huge, huge, huge.
Yes, it is. But there could be that dark cloud where they feel like they hate the world and everybody in it and they don't want to live anymore. And that's a really sad situation. So I had to talk to my daughter and tell her maybe this is a little PMS, it's a hormonal, it's maybe bad diet, maybe a little sugar, because, you know, when they're out there, when she's at home, she eats really, really well. But when they're out there in the real world, I can't keep my eye on her. So, you know, I just have to trust the process. So everything seems to be working out now. My reverse psychology. I said, so do you still want to take vitamins, Ruby? Oh, yeah. How about the protein shakes? I won't bug you about those anymore. Do you still want them? Oh, yeah. She says, the only thing is I just don't want you bugging me about being on the computer. I said, great. Be on the computer whenever you want. And she was happy. And that's all she really basically wanted. She
just
wants
a cycle.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the stuff that kids go through is just for a time. If you just let it go, let it be. If everyone's doing their own thing, you're keeping an eye. And you're really concerned about everyone's health and welfare, but not a control freak.
Right.
That's what we don't need in the house.
And I guess that's what she...
Let people have their freedom.
Because,
let them,
you know,
do what
once
they want.
Once I let go, she was just doing it exactly the way I've always wanted her to do it. But I'm not telling her anymore. She's doing it on her own. And I guess she perceived the fact that I was telling her, don't forget to take your vitamins. Don't forget to do that. Did you wash your hair today? Little things like that. She was perceiving as me being a control freak. So I've just let it go, and she's doing everything the way I've wanted it done anyway. And
so it's
really,
how you handle it.
And really, it's less energy for me. I have
right.
more energy now.
It's a great thing.
And I just wanted to say one thing. I just heard on the radio today that they're planning, the government, whatever, is planning on giving some sort of tax break to parents as an incentive to get their kids lean and healthy. Can you believe that?
Well, if people won't do what they need to do, because it's the right thing, then often they'll do it because money is driving them to do what needs to be done. So that old dollar bill dangling in our eyes, huh, is the driving force.
Oh, we can get a tax break by getting our kids leaner, by getting our kids healthier. I mean, what has the world become? I can't believe it, but I guess that's the way it is.
Yep. Well, this is what education is all about.
That's right. That's what we're up to.
Okay, that was a good hot topic. And what is your final word?
My final word is from the book, Live What You Learn and Pass It On. I've learned that nothing of value comes without effort.